male.
He gets to 13, 14. He says he wants to be called, he's identified as a female. Went to the hospital. The doctor saw the record and the doctor addressed him as a male. The doctor was sacked. Yes. Lost his job. He's in court now trying to get his job back. He said, no, you are born a male. He said, address me as a female. The doctor said, I'm sorry, I can't address you as a female. I'm a doctor. I know the difference. Management came and said, if she says she's female, the doctor says he is not female. He's a male. They sacked the doctor. Praise the Lord. Maybe you've not asked yourself how much compromise you want to do for you to be happy. Because generally, what people say, I always say, many times, the places you are talking about that you think is heaven, you've never even been there before. So first, calm down. I didn't say you shouldn't go. I'm just saying, calm down that heaven status that you believe about the place. It's not heaven. It's part of the earth where human beings are with their problems. That's the truth. So go with a mindset, if it's your destiny to go, to be an overcomer. Go to meet problems. Except you are ready for the compromise. Don't meet problems. Nothing can replace inner peace. Please don't compromise that thing. Value it. Let it become your compass. Once you are battling inner peace, step out. The fruit of righteousness, Bible says, is sown in peace. Once your peace is having a problem, you can't enforce righteousness. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking from the heart. I started by saying curious moment. Youths, our time has come. If I look at things from my academic background, in the last 5-6 years, some, not all, some of our best students in the veterinary school in Ibadan have gone to some of the best schools in the world when they finish their first degree. Gone to Cornell, gone to Texas A&M, Texas Technical, on scholarship, the best year. Once they apply for scholarship, and they're doing well. Happy for them. They were my students. Encourage them. And as a lecturer that is staying here, I mean, like I said, just talking from my academic background, is to keep working hard here, because some of these people, may not be all, at the end of the day, may want to come back home, even if it's on temporary basis, to come and give back. When they come, will they meet a setup that they can work with? I said, that's why me, I'm here. So I understand why me, I'm here. That's why I don't joke. I don't joke around. Take things seriously. Because sometimes a time may come, some of the people that have gone, they're going to find out someday that they are strangers. And even if it's not permanent, they want to come home, spend 3 months and go. But where will they work? Where is the setup that they can work and contribute back? Some of us are working hard to make sure such setups are available. That's how China built. They sent the best to Germany, to UK, to US. But later, China too built a setup that Chinese can always come back to come and contribute. And they built strong. Praise the Lord. Nigeria is going to build strong. They are there. They are in NASA, Nigerians. They are in Tesla. They are in Twitter. They are in investment. Goldman Sachs, Nigerians, Deloitte, Nigerians. It's not a wasted country. They are Nigerians. And some of them continually believe they are Nigerians. They regret and weep over the problem, but they still hold to the fact that they are Nigerians. And the time will come, praise the Lord, that they will hear that there is bread at home, that there is order at home, that there is now a leadership at home. And people will start to come. Maybe permanent, maybe constantly. This country is going to be great. In short, the few people that I talked to spiritual people, I told them, my son said he's coming for youth service. He said, well, let him come and sow his own part, because one day this country shall be great. And he won't just come to say he's coming to, no, there is a seed, he sowed his own. Because I called him one day, I said, your mom told me that people told you that you are crazy. And so he said, are you mad? I'm going to do this. And after that, I said, son, let me just tell you something. Many times, not all the time, many times, destiny is a lonely road. What you know you have peace with, what you know you believe that's what God wants you to do, what is passionate in your heart is many times lonely. It's not everybody that will just agree with you. So know that I told him many times, destiny is a lonely road. But at the end of the day, God will bring forth the fruit of peace. It's not every time, but many times. Don't violate your inner peace. Even though that's not what everybody outside is saying. Violate your inner peace. It's two things. It's the country and it's us. These are the leaders. Praise the Lord. At the end of the day, I know I will belong to a generation of advisors. These are the leaders. These are the AI people. These are the farmers. 21st century farmers. They are on the farm and yet they are on their laptop, because there's a relationship between the laptop and the yield and the cloud and their bank account. These are the leaders. And some of us, by the grace of God, we have seen it. We are just privileged that we are their advisors. We are there just to nurture them. These are the leaders. When they say Nigeria is great tomorrow, these are the people. So identify where you are and take your life seriously. Put some soberness into your life. And let's stop playing games. Add to your life. Be it in school. As you come to church, your Bible reading, be adding. Be putting value in your life. Spiritual, academic skill. Be adding value to yourself. Joining the internet and scheming people of their money, or trying to experiment with drugs, those things are not adding value to you. Walk out of them. I was talking to my wife, we were watching a detective series, and they were fentanyl, opium, people are taking drugs and they are dying. Then I was asking, excuse me, is it purposeful suicide? Why are you taking this thing that daily people are dying? And the detective, they hacked into the phone of those who are supplying the drugs. They were trying to get the person. So when they hacked into the phone, they saw he was supplying using emojis. He wasn't using plain words. They were using emojis. If you say you want something, you just give some 4 or 5 emojis. The guy understands what you want. Then he also used an emoji to tell you where you will meet. So the detective now took it. He said, we don't understand what this emoji. She now has a 17-year-old daughter. I said, I think I know who may know. So he took it to the daughter and said, I need your help. He said, can you see this? He said, oh, okay. These are emojis about, okay. Somebody requested for drugs, but not just drugs, the one with ecstasy. Say, which one? He said, ah, there must be this. Uh-huh. When he finished, the mother now looked at her and said, excuse me. Excuse me. Are you into this? I said, Mom, no. You've told me. And I said, ah. Dad, I said, everybody in school knows it. The mother went out, turned back and said, are you sure? I said, Mommy, trust me, I am not into it. And that's how they were able to crack the case. 17. The girl that was just killed was 17. Opium with fentanyl inside. Just took it, went to the bathroom and just collapsed and died. That hundreds of that is happening in the U.S. every day. Real life. Hundreds. Not 10, not 5. Hundreds every day. Let's be careful, though. Let's be very careful. The life is your own. Use your life well. Use your life very well. And that's why when I say when you come here, you listen to the word, take it seriously. Let it build you. Because really, really, the truth be told, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you are not somebody that the fear of God is deep inside, you are going to have problems, not just in Nigeria, anywhere in the world. Is that fear of God? Say, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I had a young girl. She's in this church. Now she's married. Her parents are well-known people in church. So she was going to the U.S., probably for 6 weeks holiday or something. So the mother said, make sure you go and see Prof. So she couldn't see me, but she called. I said, you are going to the U.S. You people, just spend daddy's money and go. So, because it was a holiday. I said, let me warn you. Number one, avoid this. If peradventure you are going with a friend to a party, have 100% control of your drink. If don't take that drink again, and in your accommodation where you are going to stay, just be ready. 19-year-old girl. I say, you see them in the place you are living, the place you are going to stay for 6 weeks, they've been fornicators amongst themselves since they were 13, 14. Now they are 19. The boys don't like those girls anymore. They are commonized. Then one new girl just arrived on the block. You become a center of attraction. So know all these things before you land. Don't go and find out when you get there. It will be too late. Arm yourself with all this information before you get there. Isn't that a place we should be afraid of? Can you see the information I'm giving somebody? Rather than say, have fun, have a nice time, and go. I am aware of the dangers. I tell my boys, nothing, no matter how society paints it, homosexuality is wrong. You have to keep telling them. Keep telling them. Don't hate them or don't. But they can't be your friends. They can't. Can't be your friends. So, brothers and sisters, let's end it, my own discussion, before the distinguished man of God. Pastor Lally said, Prof. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Verse 14 and 15. This is the parable of the sower. Many of you have heard of that parable, isn't it? The parable of the sower. We are going to pick on two types of hearts, which by God's grace, I believe most of us are in or are expected to be in, but two types of hearts that matter to us as we go forward. the heart that is sown with thorns. So they sowed the seed. There's one wayside. Immediately they just sowed it. It didn't even take root. The birds ate it. Then there's one they sowed the seed on rocks. So when they got to the rock, with a little moisture, the plant, the maize came out, but no root. So soon it just died. Then the third one, which is verse 14. And that, let's read it. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this world and bring no fruit to perfection. So it started growing. It actually started growing. But, the cares of this world. I'm not afraid to move by our boys. It's cares. The deceitfulness. I like when Bible says, and when I say statement like, don't believe when you go there, you'll be happy. That's the interpretation. Deceitfulness of riches. Go and look at this, the people in the U.S. that are committing suicide, and go and find how many of them are poor. You'll be amazed. Very small. Very, very small. Because they've painted the picture so that once you get there, you'll be happy. But people are there. Money. They are committing suicide. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't go, but I'm trying to say change that your mentality. And stop believing the wrong thing. Deceitfulness of riches. So it was growing, but because of all this problem, it did not bring forth fruit to perfection. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart haven't heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I need to round up so Pastor Lalu can come. See, that's why I say you come here regularly to hear the word. See, on good grounds, haven't heard the word. Praise the Lord. And do what? Keep it. No, let me trace back. Before heard the word, he said, in a good and honest heart. Praise the Lord. Good and honest heart, to one extent, is an heart that is constantly cleaned by the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. What makes you clean by the blood is admittance of your weakness and your infirmities, and you repent. Amen. That's a good and honest heart. So constantly, Father, I'm sorry for that. Clean with the blood of Jesus. Good and honest. Amen. He now say, heard the word. Amen. That's Bible reading and listening to messages like this. Praise the Lord. Then keep it. It's a product of prayer. Amen. Prayer is the energy where the word of God is converted to what you read to a character you form. Praise the Lord. You can't just read Bible without praying. You read it, you just get information, but it doesn't have the energy to transform to character. So, good and honest heart, that's the blood of Jesus. Heard the word, that's the word of God. Keep it. That is prayer. But now use the word. Verse 15, the end. Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It means you have to stay with it. Amen. You see, the thorns, the problem said, they did not bring forth fruit unto perfection. But this one brought forth fruit with patience. The way you will achieve perfection is by patience. Praise the Lord. You will make mistakes. You won't get it right many times. But you keep on. The blood of Jesus. The word of God and prayer. Amen. They tell us in the world, and it is scripturally true, that practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. Blood of Jesus, word of God. Particularly, we told you about 1 Corinthians 13, confessing the verse 4 to 8, the scriptures on love. And then you now pray in the spirit. That gives energy to that word to become your nature. Amen. Bring forth fruit with patience. It takes time. But life takes time. Praise the Lord. Competence takes time. Impact takes time. Relevance takes time. Excellence takes time. Praise the Lord. It's always easy. What do you see? What you see is Haaland playing for Man City for 90 minutes. Maybe that's what you see. Or Grealish. Or you see Saka in Arsenal play. You don't see 4 a.m. road walk. 4 a.m. road walk. You don't see 60 push-ups. You don't see restriction of diet. You just see the performance for 90 minutes. And you just want to be like him. You just want to be like him. With patience. Patience doesn't mean, like I told you about Chronos and Kairos. Patience doesn't mean that time is just going. No. It means things are being done at their time as time is going. Patience just doesn't mean time is going. That's chronology. No. Patience is Kairos. We are doing the proper thing within each time. Wake up in the morning, pray, and go. It's not that time is, you are doing things properly. Make mistakes, confess, bind the devil and everything. So that you keep on. Relevance, impact. That's why young people steal. Because what they see is the wealth. But they are not ready for what it takes to lawfully make money. And to hold on to money. I want to tell you that too. It takes a lot to hold on to money. Go and see the sons of many millionaires. They can't hold on. The father left it for them. They couldn't hold on to it. Bible says strong men retain riches. I went for a major training. Became a professor 2011. Well, announced 2013. But before they announced it, I went for a training. It's 10 years now. And I've looked, I'm talking pure science now. I've looked at my field, brain science, 10 years. And I hold a post now. I'll finish that post next year. I've told Pastor Lalu, once I finish, I want to go step down for about 3 months and go and learn MATLAB and learn Python. I am in biology, but I found that if you don't know those things, you cannot be relevant, even to the modern things. It's patience. He's already a prof. You will not have impact. You will not be relevant. You will not change lives. Because I know time is going, but I need to do something. A curious moment has come for me. A lot of background knowledge is there. There's no doubt. But if some new knowledge are not added, that background will not be really very relevant anymore. Yeah, he's a professor. I need to step down. Probably meet some master students, put me through. Or even some undergraduates, some of these sharp boys. You sit down, they put you through. I need to learn MATLAB. I need to learn Python. There are some sequence, DNA sequence, is done by artificial intelligence. Human calculation cannot do it. Step down and learn. So you build capacity. Amen. How much more spiritual things that we think we have arrived? No. We keep on with patience. The Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will help us. The Lord will encourage us. And we will be the people God wants us to be. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give her a clap offering. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank God for his mercies. Well, you know, when Prof was talking, the things I wrote down, I'll just quickly look through them. There are two very important scriptures, you know, that came to my mind while he spoke. And I want you to listen to these things. I like what Prof said, that it's not so much about a person not traveling or, you know, being stagnant, you know, but of course exposure is important. But that escapee mentality is very wrong. When you have an escapee mentality, you lose purpose, you lose destiny, you have no idea what you're doing. You're just doing out of desperation, you know, and doing things out of desperation will definitely make you lose purpose and destiny. And so these are the things I wrote down. Emphasis is on growth and exposure. Are we together? Endure the times, reject the escapee mentality. And under the note, under the scripture where I dropped these notes, which I'll continue, is about Lot. See, Lot was under Abraham, but he couldn't chill. He couldn't endure. He couldn't be patient, like Prof was talking about. He couldn't stay under a mentor, spiritual and physical, because you see, Abraham was actually wealthy. You know, it hadn't manifested in its fullness, you know. And even where they were was that place of opportunity, because when Lot left, God said, lift up your eyes. You know, lift up your eyes to the skies. Lift up your eyes everywhere. Even where that Lot has gone, I've given everything to you. Do you understand? So sometimes it is in the midst of that desperate moment and that time of desperation, that's when your very test is going on. And so you have to, like Abraham, just calm down. You can see that it was during that very time that Lot was given the opportunity. When there were actually legal troubles. There were problems, literally. And the problems seemed, justifiable, because his herdsmen were fighting the herdsmen of Abraham. And at that point, Abraham said, look, we are brothers. Let there be no fight amongst us. And then the test came. It looked very easy. And it looked like an opportunity. And he revealed what was in the heart of Lot all this while. He said, you know what? Take a pick. Your mentor, your baba, someone that is acting as a father to you, is telling you, okay, take a pick. You're not saying, sir, not me, never. You go first. But because in his heart, he wanted to, I don't want to use the word jackpot. In his heart, he literally wanted to go. He was tired of the old man, like Prof was talking about. He was tired of the way they were doing things, maybe in the city or in that church. Or, you know, you can look into your heart and see where this thing fits. It looks like a story, but it's deep, because God is passing messages through those codes, through those stories. You know, it might look as if the way things are being done here is not the way it's being done outside. You know, I just want to get out. And there's a justifiable reason. Like for Lot, there was a justifiable reason. But you see, it was a test. And that point, he could have made and submitted it back to the man. No. You know, there are times that even God would ask people like Jeremiah and ask people like Ezekiel, what do you think? He said, what would they say? Thou knowest, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord. It's a test of humility. You see, once you slip from humility into that pride moment, is a continual slippery ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a very subtle thing. Now, it's not a challenge or a test that you cannot pass, because it has to do with, is a buildup of continuous assessments of you walking the place of prayer upon your heart. Lately, God has been showing me how a heart of a person is, including mine. He says, like a chessboard. God is playing, the devil is playing. And it depends on which side you are. See, when the devil plays, sometimes, you know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in the heart, Jesus was talking about, that's where the sins come from. And it's in that same heart that God wants. Do you understand that you're supposed to sow the word? His Bible says that, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. How shall he not sin against you? By hiding his word in his heart. Do you understand? But back to what I was saying. 2 Peter 2:8 says, for thou righteous man, you know, like Prof was talking about, you know, the going out but not being armed is a very dangerous thing, guys. He talked about the importance of exposure. You know, I remember someone that was in England, and I was encouraging her, you know, about exposure. You know, I had like three E's, you know, to encourage her. You know, so there is a place for exposure, and there is a place where God can actually establish you. But like he also mentioned, there were key words that he mentioned about being armed. And you know, this thing is not just for international students or those that might have to go out. You might have to leave the city. You might be graduating. You know, I mean, a graduating set. You might have to go for your NYSC. I mean, you're leaving a vicinity physically, or you have already left a vicinity physically, you know, and there is that temptation for the link to be broken with your Abraham. There is that temptation to disconnect and say, look, I've had enough of this guy now. I'm breathing. No, don't do that. Do you understand? Because as you see the end of Lot, he had association with someone like Abraham. It was Abraham that took him now. He had some association with Abraham. It had built some things into him, but he was not done. It was not done. He was not cooked. He was not baked. He was not fully refined. It was Abraham that was supposed to release him. I said, now, Lot, you can go. I've established, I have built it to you. You can now be a father of nations like I am a father of many nations. See, the fullness of what Abraham had was what Lot was supposed to replicate much later. If he had chilled and waited and grown and imbibed. See, the end of Lot was bad, though. You know, he lost everything. Yeah? In my Bible reading today, even though God was talking about his covenant people, he mentioned the children of Lot, and I remember that they came out of incest with their father. See, these things, all these things that our prophet is talking about, homosexuality, LGBTQ, incest, is all part of it. It's all the same spirit. It's all the same devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can see how his end was of a man that is supposed to have end spiritually. And you see, there's so much talk about that guy. See, so it says, and he delivered righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. They had made him an elder in the city, but that doesn't matter. Who cares about that? He couldn't survive the perils of that place. You'd say, oh, no, I'm righteous. I'm a Christian. When I get there, prof, you don't know. When I get there, spiritual command in me. It's not like that, too. That's what Lot thought. But when he got there, see, the pressures and the sin had abounded so much in that place. He wasn't meant to be there. He did not have the spiritual capacity to sustain and to overcome and to thrive in the place. He was like a small fish a big fish in a small tank, and he thought it was something. See, but when the D-Day came, he lost his wife. He lost all his property that he took. He lost everything. The Bible says initially before he left, he had herdsman, he had cow, he had cattle. In fact, there was so much. That's why there seemed to be schism and conflict in the land. And I'm sure if he submitted to Abraham, they would have found a place. Abraham would have given him an idea. He's a father now. He's a matured man. But he thought, look, I'm the young man. We know the stuff, man. You know? And so the Bible says about Lot that if he delivered righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. Say, God is merciful. Let's give her a clap offering unto the Lord. God is merciful. God is love. But Lot lost everything. You don't want to be like Lot. You don't want to lose everything. You don't want to go out without a sense of purpose and destiny and a send forth. Do you understand? A release from a spiritual oversight, and you go out of desperation. Because when you are coming back, don't let it be like, what was that woman's name? Ruth's mother-in-law. Naomi. She said, I left full, but I've come back empty. Let not my name no be longer Naomi, but let it now be Mara, which means bitter. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Do you understand? You want to be a Boaz, an international man exposed who owns the land. Do you understand? He goes and comes, but I mean, he knows his place and is in the right place at the right time. So when anybody comes, they come and walk in your field. You understand what I'm saying? You want to be a Boaz. Tell your neighbor, I want to be a Boaz. You need to go and read that story. Peradventure, you don't know, you know. These are things that you might have read them, but now they will now be quickened. The Holy Spirit will begin to quicken them You know, I want you to be a Boaz. I'll show you some things. I want to be a Boaz. Exposed. He was riding a horse, yet a humble man. He's exposed. He's enlightened. He's wealthy. A man of wealth. Do you understand? So that means God has given him wisdom to make wealth. Yet, Naomi that used to be in the land and her daughter-in-law, they were picking from his field. It's in the mercy and the grace of God that Ruth was able to meet him through the wisdom that God had given Naomi. So you can imagine if she'd not leave, like one prophet said, say it's Naomi that would have married Boaz. But you see, he told anyway, let's still thank God. You know? But the point I'm trying to make is this, back to Lot. For that righteous man, so Lot was, God counted him as a righteous man, you know, a sinner. For that righteous man, having dwelt among them, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, seeing and hearing. You see the pressures that will come against people that are not established or rooted or grounded in God or in love, wherever they are, be here locally or internationally, you know, or even through the internet, was vexed in his righteous soul day after day with their unlawful deeds. Then the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Now, in my notes, as a round off, see, I said emphasis is on growth and exposure. As you are here right now, load yourself. Because definitely, eaglets are flying. Eaglets are going to fly. And we are praying eaglets fly. So it's not a matter of caging people or caging doves. And then when it's time to fly, you cannot fly. Remember that scenario during the last, when they banned us from Twitter. And now they said doves should fly. The doves didn't fly. But we are praying that eaglets will fly. But these things that Prof has said and that you are hearing is of emphasis and importance. Endure the times, reject the escapee mentality. Stay and build yourself up on your most holy faith. Load yourself with the word of God, revelation and understanding. Know how to pray. Because you see, the time is coming, you are going to be released though. And it is the things that you have learned and you know how to do that you're going to use outside to save yourself and all those under you. Imagine people looking for saviors and thinking you're the one. And the very moment the righteous fall before the wicked, God forbid. Are we together? So you are saviors out of Zion. Saviors out of Zion City. You are being loaded. And there are people by his mercy and grace. When I see them, sometimes just on WhatsApp, I'm communicating with people. And you know that people that pass through Zion City Fellowship, they are flourishing. They are not here locally. They are abroad, you know. But they are still connected. They're still loaded. You can still know. You still know. You know that these ones, because they left released. They left practicing, learning, and then practicing what they have been taught. It is working in their lives, you know. And even maybe the local church they are associated and the things that they teach there, you know that it is similar. And this person is still wanting and hungry for the thing. It says, and the number one enemy that you must start to deal with now, it's not so much the people there. It's not the people in America. It's not a person in England. It's not someone in Lagos. The number one enemy that you'll always carry around with you is the sin nature. So the better, the faster you begin to deal with it here and learn how to kill it. When you get there, you still continue that same thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness. Spiritual. And then one important scripture I put out, which I want you to think about as you leave this place. Jeremiah 12:5. I'll read it in the Amplified and the Message. Jeremiah 12:5. It says, but the Lord rebukes Jeremiah's impatience. I like this. And I like it because what Prof ended with was patience. But the Lord rebukes Jeremiah's impatience, saying, if you have raced with men on foot, and they have tired you out. If you have been in Nigeria, or you have been in Poli, you have been in your hostel, or you have been here in ZCF, or you have been in UI, or you have just been in Nigeria, and the situation and the people that you meet in your school, or the pressures of the times locally has tired you, what will you do? And how will you compete with horses? How will you compete where everything is super fast? HD, 4HD, internet, everything is moving super fast all around you, and you feel as if you're on slow motion. And if you take to flight in a land of peace where you feel secure, then what will you do when you tread the tangled maze of jungle haunted by lions in the swelling and flooding of the Jordan? Who is someone saying you shouldn't go out? What I'm saying is, Yoruba answer, Dira. Gear up. Practice. Fight. You know all those movies I watch of samurai. Before he goes out to do the real ninja work or samurai, he's practicing and practicing. That's the way I can put it. Like Prophet was talking about Ronaldo and Saka and all these guys. His early morning trials, travails, prayers, you know, prayers, exercise, diet, all those parts you don't see. They are hidden files. All you see is the graphics. And you just say, oh, I want to make money like Saka. I want to make money like Ronaldo and Messi. You don't know what the guy is going through and what he has gone through early in the morning or throughout the day. And the same thing spiritually. Pray. Wake up in the morning. Read your Bible. Because you see, by the time you get out there and then maybe you land a good job, is your prayer, we're praying about that, you know, or in school, I have a researcher and a research assistant, and you have to do something or deliver something. Are you still going to remember that you should pray and read your Bible? Or you say God understands? If you can't learn time management, spiritual time management, now what are you going to do when you're in a place where things are moving super fast? And I like what it says, tread the tangled maze. You see, it's not just a straight way. Yeah, it's tangled, sir. It's not straightforward. It's complex. They have market forces. You have tax. You have all kinds of things. You know, everything will play in its fine. You see, it says, tread the tangled maze. You know what a maze is? It's not straightforward, though. Before Dungeons and Dragons, there is a maze. Are we together? Of jungle. You know, I'll put again, jungle. You know how a jungle is. It's not just a jungle. He's now saying it's haunted by lions. He's now saying, is this stop there? And I said, in the swelling flooding of the Jordan. So you see the challenges and the forces that are working in that kind of system. But he's saying that it is important that you are patient. It is important that you know how to race with men on foot. And you are not tired. Then you'll be able to race with horses and tame them. Another transition. So, Jeremiah, if you are worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race against horses? If you can't keep your wits, you can't even hold your mind. Bible says, keep your mind, possess your mind, possess your soul. During times of calm, it's calm in Nigeria. What's going to happen when troubles break loose, like the Jordan in flood? Okay, yeah, so this is the part I want to end with. Isaiah 58:9. See, that was a question in Jeremiah. It wasn't answered. It was a rhetorical question for the person to go and think about. And peradventure, he was having that escapee, impatient mentality. Just go and use that one to think about your life. That's what God was telling Jeremiah. And then, you see, when you are done, it is God himself that will release you that look. That verse in Proverbs that says that talks about horses. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. It's God himself that will be reminding of the victories of me. See, so it's God that created horses, you know. And even though God was reminding about how fast and strong horses were, in the book of Proverbs, there's already another scripture to calm down the horse. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. But the victories of me is even God that will be beating his chest for you. Do you understand? So you need, like Prophet was talking about, Kronos, you know, and Kairos. Knowing, yes, it's 2023, but what's the Kairos? What am I supposed to be doing? Where am I? What is my state? Honest state? Do I need to accelerate some things? Do I need a catalyst in my life so that spiritual reactions can speed up and I can be where I ought to be. so that God can move me to where I ought to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in 2023, if you're supposed to be a little child and no longer a baby, and you're still behaving like a baby now, you're telling God, God, what do I need to do? Where am I messing up? Where do I need to hasten up? Where do I need to, you know, quicken things so that I can be a little child in this 2023? So by 2024, I'm working out my salvation again. I'm working myself and I'm growing up into a young man. You see, your growth level is going to determine what you can handle. If you push yourself into a place where you can't handle it and you feel that I am supposed to be a young man, I'm supposed to be a child, I'm supposed to be handling it, but you're still a baby by virtue of the things that you're not doing, there is nothing God can do. So the responsibility and the onus is on us. God wants us to go into all the world, make disciples in every nation, preach the gospel of the kingdom, get exposed, make disciples, save men. So when men say that truly God is the kind of person we've been looking for in our organization, in our department, you know, in our research institute, this is the kind of person that we need. In our institution, these are the kind of examples that we need. Look at this in Isaiah 58, 9, the kind of people that we need. You will use the old rubble of past lives to build anew. Say amen. You will rebuild the foundations from out of your past. Say amen. You will be known as those that can fix anything. Say amen. You will restore old ruins. Say amen. You will rebuild and renovate. You will make the community livable again. God wants that. God has the future for us is very bright. Because both sides must be preached. Our responsibility we must be reminded of our responsibility so that if we have been wasting time, we can grow up and begin to take our place. The eaglets must fly. Let's bow our heads as we pray. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. Victory is of the Lord. His thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Same Jeremiah. So you see, God was not against Jeremiah. God, but that at particular chapter and verse, the Bible says that God rebuked him. He rebuked him of his impatience. He rebuked him of his inconsistency. He rebuked him of his lack of focus and lack of priority. He rebuked him of his lack of time management, spiritual time management. He rebuked him so that he could reprioritize growth, especially spiritual growth, prayers, worship, Bible reading and study, so that he can be spiritually strong. And as he does that, those other things that God wants to give him will come in juices and he'll be able to handle them. They will not destroy him. Bible talks about those plants, those seed upon the thorny ground. It says that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they choked the word. That's not God's will. But the ones that dropped on good ground, on good hearts, they brought forth fruits with patience. 30%, what it could happen, handle at 30%, 60%, 60-fold. He moved to 30. He grew. He moved from 0 to 10, from 5 to 10, from 10 to 15, from 15 to 20. He kept progressing. And as he was progressing, God was giving him the riches and the wisdom that he could handle for each stage and was exposing him. His capacity was increasing. Talks about 30%, 60-fold, 60%, and then 100%, 100-fold, gradual, through grace. God is gracious, gradual, through grace, and he wants you to be able to save lives. Lot could not leave Sodom if Abraham did not intercede. So God had given Abraham everything. Everything. Including Sodom and Gomorrah and those that were there. Say, if you find 50, if you find 45, if you find 40. Abraham became a savior. If Lot had stayed, he would have been a savior as well. A true savior. He was in Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't even save his wife. He couldn't even save his daughters. Because at the end, they had incest with him. And they became the enemies of Israel. You don't want that. I want to talk to God. Growth. Practice of the word. Diligence. Patience. Consistency. Building up myself. So that by the time I'm released, I'm loaded enough to save not just myself, but all those that you're committing to my hands. Building up myself so that when you release me as that eaglet, I can bring glory to your name and save lives and be a savior out of Zion and fulfill purpose and destiny. The very reason why you have made me and created me, I can show it forth. Jeremiah, unto all of us, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let's stand up on our feet as we pray together.
Let's start to talk to God with that last scripture Pastor Laolu quoted. Tell God, God, I want to make it. Talk to God. Has an expected end for you. And one of the first, your first act of humility tonight is to desire God's expected end for you. Say, God, I want to make it to your expected end. You have an expected end for me. Lay down your own, plant it as a seed, and leave the germination to God. God, I want your expected end for me. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. God said the Lord, thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. They say, God, I want your expected end. It's an end you don't know, but it is a great end. Say, Heavenly Father, I surrender. Without you, I can do nothing. I put down my plans. I put down my thoughts. I put down my desires. and I sowed them now as a seed before you. Come and take control of my life according to your own will. Let your end be my end. Let your will be my will. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Help me to humble myself, to accept your will, so that I will walk worthy of God unto all pleasing. I'll be fruitful in every good work, and I'll become more conformed to the image of Christ. Help me as your eaglet to arise and to fly. In Jesus' name, amen. Maribasaka brababa shake predodos. Maragaskete keredekeke messi. Marabakakoto preneska tabra pray. 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 Rika soska brababa keske. Thank you, Jesus. Maribetoska lidere. Regedebekese. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Regedebekaka pastore. Pores katare. Jerebekeste. Paprebesterereke kutrenoska da. Ragadebekesim badere. Pray with all your heart. Redebe semprege doruskanda. Merebeste. Papesterege sopre. Shegebrebekishke brebekake. Marabastere. Rigosaka. Basteke brebekiki. Rika story. Holy Spirit. Regebekishke pekistoe. Maprebebe sente. Raga sanka. Pestege brebekaki dosandere. Marabakato. Jinge brebekishke brebekeke. Raga sonte. Mangragaduska. Jerebeke supreneya. Bastokeya. Father, we thank you because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap.